You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast. It is Wednesday, November 14th, 2018. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. If you enjoy this show, subscribe to it on iTunes or Spotify, and leave it a good review in iTunes. We certainly do appreciate that. Well, the Jets are in their bye week, so I wanted to take today's show to reflect on some of the big developments from the first half of the season. And I guess a little more than a half because we're 10 games in, 6 games to go. So on today's show, we're going to be talking about the biggest stories from the Jets in their first 10 games before the bye as we look back on what has taken place so far. And we're going to start on a positive note today, and what I'm going to talk about first is the improvement of some young defensive players, and two guys in particular, two recent first-round draft picks. It's Jamal Adams and it's Darren Lee, and I think Adams in particular has really taken the next step this year. There are not many safeties who go as high as number 6 overall in the NFL draft, and there are a lot of reasons for that, but mainly, if you look at what's known as positional value, safeties are not valued that highly in the NFL. And big reason for that is that there are just not many impact players at that position. It's not, you know, there tend to be a lot of steady guys. It's not a position that people will pay a lot for because there aren't many guys who really change games within the league. And is Adams quite there yet? You can make an argument either way, but I think he's taken a big step in his game. I think I don't think there's any question to me that he's taken a big step forward this season. And for Adams to justify that selection, because there are so few impact safeties in this league and because it's such a high pick, he needs to be a huge impact guy. And I think he's getting there. If he's not there yet, and I think he might be there right now. I think, you know, he's making a strong case to go to the Pro Bowl this year. And look, there are lots of disappointing parts of this team, and we certainly will talk about them as we get deeper into this show. But if you're looking for a positive development this season, I think you should look no further than the 2017 first-round pick, because if you look at the numbers, first of all, he's been one of the preeminent safeties in this league against the run. He's really making a ton of impact plays against the run, and I know it's a passing league, so that only counts for so much. Well, look, you still want to stop the run. You still don't want to get gashed in the run game, and stopping a run play on first down puts the offense behind schedule, so it's still a big deal. But I also think he's been more effective this year in coverage. I don't think last year he was very up and down in coverage. There were some pretty good games, but there were also some pretty ugly games for him against the pass. I think he, for the most part, he's done a pretty good job in coverage, and he's also been an effective blitzer, I think. And I think Adams has just been, he's a guy who came into the league as somebody people were expecting to be really smart, and just the way he reads plays, I think, you know, I don't see many false steps out of him this year. I think he reads the blocking assignments well. That's one of the reasons he's had success getting into the backfield. You know, he's not a big guy. He's not going to shed a lot of blocks. He's not going to have a lot of counter moves to get off offensive players who are trying to block him. But if you're smart and you can read blocking assignments, you can find the breaches in those gaps and explode through them. And I think that's what he's been doing. And the other aspect, I've talked about this before, when you're the safety, you're kind of the last line of defense. So your job is to bail everybody else out if somebody else messes up. And I've been noticing that he's been doing that an awful lot this season. So very positive development to see Adams grow like this. And then there's the guy who was drafted in the first round the year before who has not taken as big of a step. And there are still some bad moments. And I'm still not sure he's there justifying that first round pick, but I think there's no question that there's at least some positivity around this guy, which there was not in his first 2 years, and that's Darren Lee, who, you know, is playing better in coverage. He's not making as many mistakes in the run game. Again, they're still there. I'm not as high on Lee because, like Adams, you know, Lee was not drafted as high, but he plays another position that's relatively easy to fill. It's a position where you typically don't have to pay a ton to find a decent guy. So just having a decent guy there from a first-round pick from that standpoint, I'm not sure it's necessarily what you're looking for, but at least Lee is not hurting the team as much as he was a year ago. And I think as long as a player is progressing, as long as a player is moving in the right direction, there's at least some hope. And I think that if you had told me that this is what Lee was going to give you through the first 10 games, I may have taken it. So I think there's some positivity to be had from these two recent first-round picks. And look, we need some positivity around this team. We need some young talent on this team. So there's at least something that's pretty good. Next thing I'd like to talk about is another positive development for the Jets, and that's just the play of special teams. And, you know, I go back to that preseason game against the Giants where the special teams were just comedically horrible. It was, like, unbelievable how bad they were. And, look, they've had a bad game or two in here, but for the most part, they've been pretty solid. You know, you'll start with the kicker, Jason Myers, who is just another example of how easy it is to find a kicker. The next time you think, well, the Jets need to re-sign this kicker for big money because you don't want to risk losing him, just think of Jason Myers, a guy the Jets signed off the scrap. You have a guy, you know, I would say I didn't think he could do the job effectively. Well, let's be honest. You didn't think he could do the job effectively. None of us did. It's just easy to find a kicker. One of the things I always say about the quarterback position, the reason it's so hard to fill is that there are less than 32 humans on the planet Earth at any given time who are capable, physically capable of playing the quarterback position effectively in the NFL. Well, there are more than 32 kickers. There are more than 32 people who are capable on the planet Earth of being an effective place kicker in the NFL. So that's why you should never panic when your team loses a place kicker. It's why, frankly, you should probably be pretty upset if your team pays a kicker big money, because it doesn't make sense. There's always a guy out there who can replace the guy you lost. I remember, you go back about a decade, the Jets had Jay Feely, and he was doing an effective job. And by the way, the Jets had signed Feely off the scrap heap when Mike Nugent got hurt in 2008. They let him go. People were upset. The Jets signed this kicker, Nick Folk, off the scrap heap. Everybody thought Folk would stink. Folk goes in, does a credible job for a number of years. Jets let him go. Everyone's upset. They signed Chandler Cantazzaro off the scrap heap off a terrible year. Everybody's panicking. Cantazzaro does a credible job. They let him go to the Bucks. I don't think people were panicking at that point, but they signed Myers. You know, people were skeptical. Myers comes in, does a credible job. It's just easy to find a decent kicker in the NFL. So next time you think about overvaluing kickers in terms of contracts, in terms of other stuff, just think about that. And then the return game, Andre Roberts has come in. And I mean, look, he's made some mistakes. I think he's made more mistakes than the numbers would indicate, but also busted some big returns. And the Jets special teams unit just overall has been a pretty solid unit for this team, pretty good. So I think that's a positive development. I think it's a surprising development. I don't think anybody went into this season based on, A, how this unit's performed over the past half decade, and B, how that unit performed in preseason. I don't think anybody was really expecting that. So I think you have to view that as a positive development for this team. And, you know, we're looking for positives with this team at 3-7 right now. You're listening to this Wednesday episode of the Locked On Jets podcast. We're talking about the first half of the New York Jets 2018 season, recapping some of the key developments. And we started the show with two positives, and now we're going to go to a negative, and I think that it has to be that this free agent class has not done the job for the Jets. It really has been not successful. There's one exception I'd make, and that's Avery Williamson, who, you know, I was a fan of Avery Williamson going back to Kentucky. I remember that was the Idzik 12 draft, and I was hoping the Jets would draft Avery Williamson because I really liked his game coming out of Kentucky. So I was really happy when the Jets signed Williamson, I think. I don't want to be a Francesa and have some recording come back to me at the time the Jets signed Williamson and have me complaining about too much money. But I've always been an Avery Williamson fan, so I'm happy to see the way he's playing because I think he's done a really good job. The thing about Williamson for me is just when he's near a guy, you know that guy's going down. You know he's going to make the solid tackle. We know his game's a little limited, and you know he's not a great cover guy. I think we all know that, but I'm satisfied with the job Avery Williamson's doing. So I think that was a pretty good signing. You look at the rest of the big money free agents though for the Jets, and it has not been great. They did get a third round pick out of Teddy Bridgewater, so I'll give them that. But it's been very spotty in other areas. You look at the big money guys. It's Trumaine Johnson, who let's be honest, this contract is starting to look like an albatross right now. He has been just awful in coverage. He's been burned by receivers who aren't that good. You know, at first I heard people say, well, you can't play him against speed receivers. And I'm saying, okay, that's not good because this guy is supposed to be your big money corner. And I can't play him. I can't play my big money corner against speed receivers. Now it's you can't play him against shifty receivers. Now you can't play off coverage. You can't. I mean, where does it end? This guy, there's a reason you pay a guy a premium. It's that you're supposed to be able to trust him in any situation. You're not supposed to have to protect a guy making that kind of money. And at the end of the day, it's not about protecting him. I don't think that the reason I don't think the reason he's struggling is that the Jets are misusing him. I mean, the problem is he's not playing that well. He got toasted on the first play of Sunday's game against a guy who was just signed off the practice squad. At some point, you have to stop blaming the coaching staff. At some point, you have to stop pointing the finger at usage. A guy who's making that much money should not be beaten by the receivers of the caliber he's been beaten by this year. You go back to Dante Moncrief. You go back, I mean, I can name other guys. And he's been injured for a good chunk of the season, which I guess is not his fault, but still not great when you combine it with how bad he's been in the lineup. So that's not working. Spencer Long, and Long's been banged up. And I think maybe that's him, especially the hand injury might be impacting the way he's snapping the ball. But he's not been effective as a blocker, that much I can tell you. And again, maybe it's the injury, but you look at some of the key numbers, you can make a case he's been worse than Wesley Johnson this year. So that's not good. Isaiah Crowell, very feast or famine. I got to be honest with you, he's had some big games. I've been disappointed in what we've seen out of Crowell. And I know the offensive line for the Jets is probably not helping matters much, but I can't tell you if I would have signed up for this for Crowell. I had higher hopes than him. He's just too feast or famine. You know, he's too much of a high variability player. And there's some guys who go out there and just do a steady job every week. Then there are some guys where it's either spectacular or it's terrible. And that seems to be the way Crowell is going. So, you know, I'm not a big fan of what I've seen from him so far. I mean, there have been some good moments. I wouldn't call him an out-and-out bust the way I would call Johnson and Long so far. But I'm still not exactly pleased with what I've seen from Isaiah Crowell so far. So, you know, I think this free agent class has just been kind of a disappointment for the Jets. If we're going to be honest about this, Williamson looking really good. Everybody else, not looking somewhere between terrible and disappointing. Next development is just Sam Darnold, who, you know, of course, won the job in training camp, won the job in preseason. And he's looked like a rookie. He's had some very good moments. He's had some moments where he's really flashed. You think of the three wins, really. The Detroit game where he came back off the early interception, the Denver game, and the Indianapolis game in particular. The Indianapolis game is really important to me because that's the type of game where you stake your hopes for the future. That's a game where he did not have everything working around him the way he did against Denver, the way he did against Detroit. In those games, he was more just kind of part of the process. He was part of the machine moving things forward. In the game against the Colts, he was the guy who was making it work. He was the reason things were going well. So that was, you want to see one or two of those games from a rookie. And given Darnold's surroundings, look, you saw on Sunday what these surroundings actually are. I think, you know, that should open your eyes the way Josh McCown struggled. And I know McCown's not great, but he's a veteran quarterback, and he couldn't do anything. And one of the things I've noticed is that every game, it seems to me, even when he's really struggling, Darnold just makes one or two, three plays out of nowhere. And I was wondering, I go back to the game a few weeks ago against Chicago where he really struggled on paper. The numbers weren't good, but I thought I thought the offense was better than it would have been had Darnold not been in there, because I thought there were probably four or five plays in that game where he just made something out of nothing. And I wonder, am I giving him too much credit? Am I, pumping him up too much? And then I watched that game on Sunday, and I was like, no, Darnold actually is making the offense better. You know, look, there are some really bad rookie mistakes. There are some bad decisions. That stuff happens. But I think there have been some good moments as well. Look, this is a guy who's so talented. You should be optimistic for the future, or at least for his future. The Jets need to do a better job putting the pieces around him. And, you know, if he's making the same types of mistakes 1 year, 2 years from now, then we can talk more about Darnold. But as much as anything, this year is about him just getting experience, him, you know, treading water, learning how to play in the NFL. So I think, you know, even though the numbers aren't pretty, relative to what he's been surrounded with relative to the situation he's been put in. I'm still pretty satisfied with what I've seen so far. It hasn't all been great, but I think it's been good enough to make me hopeful for the future. It's Wednesday here on the Locked On Jets podcast. We're looking back at the Jets pre-buy in 2018, some of the key developments. And look, my final development is maybe the biggest one. You could argue the young quarterback is more important, but it's up there because it's one of the most important positions on the team. And that's head coach. And I think we've seen beyond a reasonable doubt that Todd Bowles is not going to be coming back in 2019. And it may be true. And I spent yesterday's show talking about the general manager. And I think that, you know, the Jets ought to look at just totally revamping everything and cleaning house. But I don't think there's any doubt that Todd Bowles is not. There's doubt about the GM, whether he may be back. There's no doubt Todd Bowles is not coming back. And honestly, it's tough to say it's undeserved. I think it is deserved. You look at the way they started the offseason. They run out John Morton, the offensive coordinator, who, you know, I think Morton is a guy who has become overrated because he just for beating the spread. Look, he was handed a horrible situation last year. He was handed horrible personnel and probably performed a little bit better. Now, does that make him Bill Walsh? No. Does that make him, you know, the next great offensive mind in the league? No. But did he deserve to be fired? Probably not. And the Jets bring in Jeremy Bates, so that's their third offensive coordinator in 3 years, and Bates has not really done the job. You look at the way Bowles is managing games. Again, you still see the struggles. You see lack of aggressiveness in key spots, not going for it when he should. You're not following best practices, not following the types of strategy that the numbers suggest maximizes your opportunity of winning games. And then the team just losing games it should win. You know, this game against Buffalo, the game against Miami. I mean, there are just too many situations where this Jets team has underperformed over the last 4 years. And ultimately, the record. Look at the record. This is going to be a third straight losing year, and it's going to be a third straight year where the team probably wins five or less. And at some point, there's accountability for results. Look, I don't think you can change coaches every year, every 2 years. I think the teams that do that are very unsuccessful, and there's a reason they're unsuccessful, and it goes beyond performance. I think that at some point when you're constantly shuffling guys in and out, it impacts performance. But Bowles has now had 4 years. And that's the reason, you know, everybody always talks about the extension Bowles and Maccagnan got a year ago. I never really bought into it being a big deal. All that did was this would have been the last year of Bowles' contract. So they essentially took a distraction off the table, because if Bowles goes in with 1 year left on his contract, 2018 is the only year left on Bowles' contract, it's a distraction, because all the questions are going to be, well, it's the last year of your contract. You know, you're just going to get a ton of questions. It's just going to be distractions. So what they did was they took that distraction off the table. But the reason it wasn't a big deal was they could still fire him after this year. That didn't change. So that's why I think that everybody who got upset about the contract extension was probably it was much ado about nothing. Because Bowles still could get fired. Bowles still will be fired. And that means the Jets are going to probably have a coaching search. And we're going to look for the guy who is the best choice to build a stable infrastructure to support Sam Darnold. And this is going to be an important, I mean, every coaching search is important, but this is going to be an important search for the Jets' future after Todd Bowles is dismissed. And look, at the end of the day, everybody says Bowles is a nice guy. Everybody says he's smart. I mean, nothing against the guy personally. He just cannot stay on as head coach of the New York Jets. That'll do it for our show today. Thank you for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast. It's part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you enjoy the show, subscribe to it on iTunes or Spotify, and leave the show a good review in iTunes if you do enjoy it. Hope you have a great Wednesday. We'll be back again tomorrow to talk more Jets.